Welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. In today's show, we'll be looking at the value of calling in. We'll also be talking about life after the election. And today's show is pre-recorded, so please don't call us today. Call us when we're back again live. We're going to take a break here, and we'll be started right after this break. Welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon.
Great to be here.
It's great to be here. I have to tell you, I am so inspired by Josephine Baker.
Yes, wonderful.
She is excellent proof that listening to the voices of this is where you started, this is where you need to end up, or this is who you are, this is all that's available to you, or this is who the world says you are, so you need to accept their assessment and learn to live with it, it's just not a good plan. And that when you don't listen to all of that information, an extraordinary life is available.
Yes. Yes. Very exciting. You know, I didn't know her story before until I heard it here.
Yeah, I didn't. Well, I knew her story, but not these kinds of details. And I've just always loved her from the moment I knew that she existed. Yeah, but, you know, I come from an Eastern philosophy, so previous lives are not, you know, the notion of previous life is not foreign to me.
Yes.
And I think I actually had quite a bit of time in traveling around the world of jazz in the 20s and
30s.
When it's one of those deep connections, it always feels more like a memory than anything else.
You know? Yes.
Now that I can hear people clicking to other channels right now. Oh, no. I thought that this was Zen, but it's something strange.
Yes. Yes. Great. Today's show is pre-recorded, so don't call us today. Call us again when we're live.
And, Michael, when will we be live?
We'll be live. Let's see.
I would say in a week, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Well, I would say on Tuesday night, wouldn't you?
Yes.
I see.
Yes.
I see the problem that you're having. We're recording this before the next live show. I'm right there with you.
Yes.
So whenever people are listening to this live,
yes,
they can call the next time we're live, which will be on a Tuesday evening.
Exactly.
And they'll be able to reach us.
Great.
Now, this is very kind of cosmic and metaphysical, isn't it?
Yeah, this sort of switching time back and forth.
Yeah, what is now? Really. Yeah.
Well, that's what we often talk about.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
One of my favorite subjects. It's just that not very often in life do we get the opportunity to see it from that kind of perspective that we were just talking about.
Yes.
Because it seems like it's very linear. You know, I'm
yes.
going to do this now, and then later this afternoon I'll do this, and tomorrow I'll do that, next week I'll... But the idea that we're doing this now for something that's not next week, but the week after, and that people will hear us live before they hear us recorded, and then they'll hear us recorded and have to wait until the next week. Brain teaser for
you. Yeah, my brain's getting tied in a knot here.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's where we want to those conditioned minds.
Yeah.
Tied in a knot, away from trouble.
Yes, yes. And if you can't wait till we're live, you can send us an email at openair@livingcompassion.org. You can also listen to us on the archives at worldtalkradio.com on our show page there. And Sherry, we have a special show today.
We do.
Do you want to talk a little bit about what we're going to be doing and all that stuff?
Well, I would leave that in your capable hands since you're the maestro who has arranged all of this for us.
Great. And since I have it written down here.
That's right.
First thing I want to say is we're going to be posting a question on the website each week before our shows to focus our conversations for that week.
Yes. So now is that going – so there we are – with people listen to us, say, on a day when we're live, on an afternoon when we're live. After that show, will we post the question for the next week so
yes.
that people, so we all get a chance to look at that and practice with that all week?
Yes.
Yeah, so that makes it like a workshop or a retreat, but it comes right into your home.
Yes. Hmm? Yes. Wonderful. And the other two things we're going to be looking at today are the value of calling into the show and what a contribution that is for the person calling and for all of us listening.
Yes. So sometimes we talk about that from the perspective of being a part of a group of meditators.
Uh-huh.
And or coming to a place, you know, a Zen center or other kind of meditation center, or a church or wherever people are going for their spiritual support and sustenance. And it's often the case that people fall into this delusion that, quote, I don't matter, end quote.
Uh-huh.
Everything is going to go along exactly the same whether I'm there or not. And so I don't need to participate. I can take a day off. I can do something else because nobody's really going to notice that I'm not there.
Uh-huh.
That is truly a delusion. Now, people may not notice who specifically isn't there, but the loss of energy that we feel, the loss of support that we feel, is tremendous.
Yes.
So it's, I have a friend who's in a, he does a different kind of practice, but he's also offering support and sustenance for people's spiritual well-being. And they moved their facility.
Uh-huh.
10 months later, people are still calling saying, I came by the center and you weren't there.
Uh-huh.
Now, if we're paying attention, we will quickly get to the place of what did we think was going to be going on while we were off doing something else?
Uh-huh.
So we weren't supporting what we were going to seek as support.
Uh-huh.
So how was it going to be sustained and maintained while we were gone?
Uh-huh.
You know, it's one of those, what if somebody called a war and nobody showed up? In reverse. So there we are. You know, it's my favorite business, but I never support them because, you know, the prices are a little higher and it's not that convenient. But I love the store.
Uh-huh.
And then I go back how many months later, and, of course, it's gone out of business because I'm not the only one doing that.
Uh-huh.
So when we find something that works for us, that we love, then that's where we want to put our support.
Yeah.
And if people feel that way about something like this, then calling in, even though it's scary and, you know, the voices are saying, well, you don't have anything to say and you're so inarticulate and nobody's going to understand, they're going to think you're a fool. You know, we all have those voices.
Uh-huh.
So we still pick up the phone and we begin to realize that, yes, people are counting on me. Just like I'm counting on them. It's a we're in this together kind of a deal.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And as I've heard you say, supporting that which supports us.
Yeah. And especially supporting that which supports our hearts.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's a lot of things in this world that support my stomach.
Uh-huh.
You know, or support my conditioned mind, or support my karma.
Yeah.
But there aren't a lot of things that truly support the heart. And when we find one of those, we want to do our part to make sure that it continues to exist.
Uh-huh. Yes. And we've invited some people to call in today and talk about that.
Yes.
As well as our second topic, which is looking at life after the most recent election on Tuesday.
Yes. Yes, which seems to be prominent in people's conscious awareness and probably will continue to be for a while.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, yes, let's take this as an opportunity to talk about that and continue for as long as people find it pertinent and relevant to talk about what it's like.
Wonderful.
Yeah, you know, the Buddha taught four causes of suffering.
Uh-huh.
Not getting what you want and not being satisfied, being separated from those or that which you love, and being forced to endure the company of those or that which you do not love.
Uh-huh.
Now, this country is seriously experiencing the four causes of suffering. Now, depending on what's going on, it's one half of the population.
Yes.
If the election had gone the other way, the other half of the population would be experiencing it. So
yes.
It's really good for us to see, I think, our modern events in a context that is much larger and broader than our little day-to-day
yeah.
lives.
Yes. Sherry, the phone lines are lit up here. We have three people waiting to talk with us.
Oh, my goodness. I better stop talking to you and include them.
Wonderful. Let's get our first caller on the air here. I'd like to welcome Vaughn. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Yes.
Hi.
Good morning.
I really appreciate the show, so thank you, first of all. And I've seen that what happens for me is when I listen sometimes, I can allow, all the times that I don't call in, which is usually, I can allow it to be entertainment.
Aha. Oh, my goodness. What an interesting perspective. So other people's, this is going to sound worse than it is, but other people's lives, other people's issues and difficulties, other people's spiritual awareness and practice can be a form of entertainment for you.
Yeah, almost like I can be removed in a way. Like I can be listening to other people going through their things and thinking, oh, that's interesting, or, you know, relating maybe. But it's all from a very removed place. And the reason I think of the word entertainment is because it's almost as though I'm watching TV or something.
Yeah.
Like there's a way that I'm just not fully engaged.
Right. Not fully engaged and certainly not vulnerable.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest piece of it.
Yeah. Yeah, and in that way, it's very easy for karma, for conditioned mind, to be safe and actually use something that is designed to dismantle it
yeah.
to enhance it.
Yeah, yeah.
That is such an important perspective. Now, you see, here we're having the experience. That's really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can probably all find ourselves in that.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere in our lives, we can all find ourselves in it. For a lot of people, reading is that way, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I like to read spiritual things because I like to sort of live vicariously through the lives of my spiritual heroes and also see what happens to other people as they expose their foibles. And I can witness that, maybe pick up some tips,
mm-hmm.
but I don't ever have to be the fool.
Yep. And I've also seen that I'm not in a position when I'm doing that. I'm not in a position where I can directly be in conversation with you. So I've noticed on the show that you know you'll respond to people. Based on where that person seems to be. And what you say to that person might not actually even apply. Like if I had asked a similar question, but my life circumstances are different or I explain the thing differently, you might respond differently to me.
Uh-huh.
But if I'm just taking information from a different conversation, it's as though I'm not receiving the benefit of whatever wisdom you'd be offering just in my life circumstance.
Yeah, so it's like the difference between seeing a therapist and reading psychology books.
Exactly.
So I read through the psychology book, and my conditioned mind is saying, oh, that's you. There you are. Oh, you're like that. Oh, you do that. Oh, my God. You're a And conditioned mind gets tremendous reinforcement in that process.
Yeah.
Whereas if you being a therapist, you're sitting right there, eyeball to eyeball with somebody who is looking only at you. You are not a theory.
Yes.
You're a real, live individual with whom to relate.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's your issues that are being talked about, not some textbook case.
Yeah, and it's no longer an idea. I'm no longer applying something you've said somewhere to my life in an idea form. I'm actually having a direct present moment experience with a broader perspective that you're having on my situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very helpful, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Those are some excellent points for us to consider. Call in again.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks so much for calling, Vaughn. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Today's show is pre-recorded, so please don't call us today, but call us again when we're live. We're talking today about the value of calling into the show, and we're looking at life after the election. It's a powerful topic, isn't it, Sherry?
Yes, both of them. And that caller, it just so perfectly illustrates the point that we're making. I mean, these are, both of those points are ones that we don't often consider. I mean, I've never had that conversation with anyone.
Yeah.
I'm betting other people haven't heard it very often.
Uh-huh.
And each person who calls in who's doing any level of awareness practice, anybody who calls in is doing a level of awareness practice that is significant.
Yes.
And what that person is looking at applies to all of us and expands the practice for each of us.
Yes.
Very helpful.
Very helpful. This is wonderful. We have Rick and Justin on hold here, and we're going to get to them right after the break here. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray, and we'll be back in a few minutes. Listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Today we're talking about the value of calling in and life after the election. So stay tuned here for more of Open Air with Sherry Huber. Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Today's show is pre-recorded, so don't call us today. Call us when we're back again live. Today we're looking at the value of calling into the show and also life after the election. Interesting topic, huh, Sherry?
Mm-hmm. Both are. I think each could be its own show. We might have to revisit these topics.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. And we have two callers on hold here, Sherry. I'd like to welcome Rick. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Good afternoon, Rick.
Good afternoon. Actually, it's Rich, and that's all right.
Rich. Oh, sorry.
I've been called worse. It was interesting because while I was on hold here, I was really going to talk about how do we approach life after the election because the content is so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was on hold, I began thinking about the first question, the value of calling into the show for its supportive awareness practice. And that, to me, has just kind of overridden the second question, which is really content-laden, and it's very, there are even some personal things. We had a Bush carry sign stolen from our yard, and we had a bumper sticker lifted from my partner's car while she was in town. And those are little things, but you could see how divisive this election, I could see how divisive this election was for the country and even for myself. So rather than dwell upon life after the election, I started thinking about, as I was waiting to speak with you, to think about how, what's going to be different. What is different? Would it have been any different? And when you said a little bit earlier, when you talked about the Buddha's four reasons for suffering, they're going to be there. These are lifelong,
yes,
partners with me.
And it's funny, with something as big as this election, it's almost like if the four causes of suffering were music, that's a crescendo. Is that, I'm not a real music person, but is that where it just rises up to this great peak and then takes
that's
off
it,
again?
I think.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what the election was, right? I mean, it took the causes of suffering to this extraordinary peak, and then there's a moment of pause, and then the music begins again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it seems like, it seems to me at least, is I really need to look at, we're taught everything is projection in our awareness practice, and to look at this, I don't even think hatred is too strong a word. It's certainly antagonism and anger of what we're, our foreign policy is and certain things that we're doing, but I'm doing some research on a book I'm writing, and I'm reading American history, and it's always been like that. I mean, I lived through Vietnam, and I've lived through assassinations and civil rights and all kinds of things. And as I look at my life, I look at how I was impacted by those, and actually withdrew from the process of actively acting. Acting politically or otherwise. Mm-hmm. And so I think awareness practice is so important for us to look at those causes of suffering, and they'll always be around no matter what happens politically, especially politically.
Yes, because if we look at someone like the Buddha, although we could look at the life of Jesus, or we could look at lots of historical figures who were spiritual in their approach, they reported exactly the same thing in their time.
Yes.
Yeah. So human beings don't seem to change very much. It's just that now we can instantaneously know way more about everyone than probably is helpful for us to know. Mm. So with television and radio and the internet, we're just all so intimately connected, and how we are as conditioned human beings is not, it seems to me, not being addressed. There's a segment of the population, those nutcases like us, who are trying to do that. But for society as a whole, how we are is not actually addressed. It's just simply run through the filter of conditioned mind. Conditioned mind looks at it, says, yep, I was right, and away we go again. And so perhaps with an event as big as this one, even though it's true, it's always been that way. I'm sure the day after Lincoln was assassinated or that sort of thing was certainly, I was there for the day after John F. Kennedy was assassinated, or the day he was assassinated. It's a compelling moment in people's lives. But it doesn't seem to, it hasn't brought us to a place of asking ourselves, is there another way?
Yes.
And it seems that a time like this creates a tremendous opportunity for all of us to be asking that question of ourselves and one another. What else is possible for us? Because if we continue in the same way, we are going to get the same results, and it doesn't seem to be getting better.
No, and it doesn't seem to be getting better. And in the aftermath of the election, watching some of the I guess you could call it analysis, these people who are so deeply entrenched in positions anyway, but to hear them talk about how the number one issue was moral values, what does that mean, moral values? It was very interesting as I watched my reaction to the commentaries, and how...
Yes, well, and for those of us who are interested in awareness practice, for whom spirituality is way up at the top of the list of, mm-hmm. of things that we pursue in life, which I'm guessing is true for you, what are our moral values?
Mm-hmm.
And what happens to those moral values when we become threatened? Which is what I've seen happen with an awful lot of folks who are on the side who didn't win.
Yes.
Yeah. If that had been the side that won, then those undefined, perhaps, values would have been identified as the dominant values in this country, and people could essentially go back to sleep and assume that, yeah, we're right, yeah, it's working, we're on track, and fail to notice that that's probably, or perhaps at least, not the case.
Yeah, another 120,000 people in Ohio, maybe, and we'd be having a different conversation right now nationwide.
Yes.
It is interesting.
It is interesting. And so what are your, this for you to look at, for me to look at, what are my moral values? So in my world, the answer is compassion no matter what.
Yes.
So how do we bring that forth? How do I bring that forth in the face of difficult times, whether it's an election or a what we would call a personal loss or whatever is going on? Can I continue to come back to center and make that same moral choice regardless of circumstances? To me, that's what spiritual practice is all about. Not making it a contest.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a win-lose. But just having each moment of life be an opportunity for us to check in. Do I still choose compassion? Do I still choose compassion? At what point do I say, heck no, I don't choose compassion. Get the so-and-so.
Yeah. Yeah, I noticed for a day there I was really kind of down. And then today I understand that, frankly, I just let my emotions get carried away, and the conditioning won, so to speak, won the skirmish, but it's a war, it's a long campaign here. I don't like to use...
It's a long road to freedom.
That's a better analogy. It's a long road to freedom, so I appreciate both the topics, and I especially appreciate putting the value of calling into the show for its supportive awareness practice first, because that seems to trump everything.
Yeah. Just this morning, I was deciding that I'm going to do another email class and before the year is out. And I want to do the class for the very reason that we're talking about. I want it to be on my favorite topic, which is the quality of your life is determined by the focus of your attention, and how that relates to supporting oneself in order to be the difference that we would like to see in the world.
Mm.
So how do we learn to turn our attention to that which is nurturing and fosters the perspective that we would like to see furthered in the world? How do we do that for ourselves, and how do we assist others in doing that? So stay tuned for that.
Thank you.
We'll try to move more into a daily support, which, of course, I think is absolutely critical. If we could be on the radio every day, that would be my first choice.
If we come into
a great deal of money, let me tell you, that's one of the places where I'd like to put it. So people around the world could be in this conversation every day. There'd be 1 hour that's devoted to turning off the voices of conditioning and tuning into the heart.
Well, I'm appreciative and thankful that we have this time, and it's been very helpful.
Good. Thank you. Thank you, Rich.
Thank you both.
Thanks, Rich.
Okay, blessings.
You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm Will Gray.
Today we've been talking about the value of calling in. We've been talking about life after the election. And, Sherry, I was appreciating how Rich tied both of those together there.
Yeah. And I'm glad we found out who he is. Rick is a nice name, too, but we were talking to Rich.
Yes. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Today's show is pre-recorded, so don't call us today. Call us again when we're live. Sherry, we have two more people on hold here.
And they'll know when we're live because you'll be giving out the phone number instead of saying, don't call us today.
Yes.
That's helpful. That's a good hint for us.
Great. I'd like to welcome our next caller, Justin. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Great show.
Justin, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'd like to look at really along the lines, same lines of the previous caller, my relationship to, you know, what's happened since Tuesday. And, you know, where I've gotten for myself is essentially an unwillingness to suffer over it.
Now, that's really interesting. Can you say more about that? Because I'll bet you there are an awful lot of people listening for whom that is a tilt moment.
Well, you know, I mean, it seems like there's so much about it. One is...
Just a moment. We have some sort of odd sound. Michael, can you get a sense of what that is?
I'm not sure. I'm hearing pretty clearly right now.
I see. There's a... Periodically, there's a sound like a radio is being turned on and off.
Yeah, I heard that also.
Yeah. Okay, so Justin, if everything is turned off where you are, we might increase our chances here.
Yeah, I think we've got everything off here.
Okay, good.
So, well, it seems to me that it's just not helpful to anybody for me to go to some kind of, essentially to go to the same place inside that's causing the suffering outside. And so, you know, as I look at what's going on, there's just a sense of trust on some level that in some way it's okay, that there's nothing wrong with what's happening. It's, you know, whatever we do, any of us, is gonna result in something. And a lot of times the results of what human beings do is, you know, really painful or you know, tragic in a lot of cases. But it just seems like there's a perspective that we can look from that really can see that and really feel the pain of that and really experience that and not go to a place of, you know, there's something wrong with this and it shouldn't be happening.
Yes, because we truly don't have any evidence that it's not our best opportunity to make a different choice.
That's right.
Yeah, so I know for myself, one of my favorite expressions is, we get hit alongside the head with the size board we need. And usually when we got hit with a big enough board to catch our attention, our reaction is, well, but it didn't need to be that bad.
Right.
And yet, when I honestly look back, I realized that circumstances had been trying to catch my attention for a long time.
Right.
And I would just override the information in order to go ahead and do what I wanted to do or be how I was conditioned to be.
That's right.
Yeah. So we get something like this, and it can be a true wake up for people who didn't get what they wanted.
Uh-huh.
Now, most everybody we're talking to, of course, are the people who didn't get what they wanted, which is kind of not surprising, actually, since we're from an Eastern philosophy tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Now it doesn't have to be that way. One of my favorite participants in the email classes I do is a fellow who identifies himself as a Newt Gingrich is one of them. A Newt Gingrich, George Bush, Donald Rumsfeld, conservative.
Uh-huh.
And so here he's usually participating in a class with a bunch of pretty liberal types. And then here he comes, and I love it, one, that he's open to being in a conversation with so many people who don't agree with him, and that he, one of the things that I often sense is that he's the most open-minded person in the class.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
Well, it kind of, for me, it brings the two topics for today's show together. Because, you know, when I look at my life and how I've lived my life, there's always, for some reason, there's always been a sense for me that, like, I somehow am not emotionally involved in the whole human drama that's happening. You know, I can look at the choices I've made throughout my life, and I've chosen to not participate in a lot of ways. And for a long time, that was, I mean, it was helpful to me because it helped me to feel safe. But it wasn't helpful to me in a lot of ways because I just ended up separate and isolated from what was going on.
Yeah, so it's not really that you weren't a part of it. It's just that the part you played was to be isolated and separate from it.
Yeah, that's such a good point. And then when I came to awareness practice, gradually over time as I've practiced, another opportunity has presented itself to me.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of like what you were talking about with the previous caller, to participate from my heart.
Yes. Yes.
I don't, because that old role is, it's karma. You know, it's like we talk about conditioned mind. It's actually the thing that's the problem everywhere. And that was just my particular version of it.
Right. So here, if we look at something like the election, we have the people on the left and we have the people on the right. And polarized and seeing one another as, it's seeing themselves as the solution and the other, the opposite, as the problem.
Right.
So you simply step back to a place where you were separated enough that they became the problem.
Both of them together.
Both of them together became the problem.
Yep.
And on a certain level, you were the solution, even though it didn't feel good. In the same way, it doesn't feel good to be on one side of the teeter-totter kind of hating the other side of the teeter-totter.
Right. Yeah. Well, that conditioning was a solution.
That conditioning was the solution. Just get far enough away from everybody, and you won't be affected by it.
Yeah. And luckily, that didn't work.
Right. It doesn't. You know, I love it that you say that, because that is so true, and it is so comforting. The thing that we can be greatly comforted by is that doing if we want to use this term, which is not accurate, but it's as close as I get, if we're doing the wrong thing, it won't work.
Right.
So it's not like we can permanently mess anything up.
Right. Yeah.
So the only thing that works is what comes from center. Everything else is going to fail.
Yeah.
So, we can experiment as much as we want.
Yeah, and that to me is kind of the key to dealing with something like, you know, so this what's going on in the world is a gigantic content for everyone to use to see how we do life.
Yes.
Because the only thing that's going to help anybody anywhere is for us to be coming from a place that's not the place that causes suffering.
Yes.
Even something like the election, I mean, so let's say it didn't go my way, so, and I have all these feelings that arise as a response to that, and I want to do all these kind of hateful things as a result. Well, that's my opportunity to see that and then step to a place where none of those things are real and where I really am the solution instead of just another part of the problem.
Yes. So the image that I had when you were describing that, before the or during the election, both parties had their parties. So they had their campaign headquarters
right.
all over the country.
Right.
Right. All the Democrats would get together and they'd eat and drink together and wait for the results, and all the Republicans would get together and they're doing the same thing. Then afterwards, the winners have a victory party and the losers have a depression party. Okay? What we need is a post-election party for everybody.
Yeah, that's so true.
Where everybody comes together, shakes hands, hugs each other, and makes a plan for how we're all going to go forward together.
Yeah, that's so right.
And then we need to do that on a worldwide basis.
Yeah. Well, and this show, represents that in a way because, you know, I don't sense in anything that you're saying or that Michael's saying that's like biased in some way. You know, we're looking at process here and not the content of things.
That's correct.
And so in a way, you know, to have a forum where that can be, that kind of dialogue can happen, that seems like the only way that we could ever actually, you know, as a group of people, as human beings, stand in a place from which we can see what's the best for all and then really make conscious choices rather than just completely unconscious choices driven by forces within inside of our minds and our bodies that we can't see and don't understand.
Yes. And as somebody said to me the other day, who was looking at this election as a tremendous opportunity, the concern that was expressed is that people on the left side will now move into a survival position.
Mm.
Just becoming entrenched in, okay, now I'm threatened, now I have to, rather than the opportunity that we're describing here. Now, because I think a lot of people who go to the left of center would say that their values are kindness and compassion and caring for all and inclusivity and this sort of thing. So, again, when it comes right down to it, is that the choice that people are going to make? Or when threatened, does it still turn into a, well, I'm going to survive and to heck with the rest of you?
Yeah, and there's a great litmus test opportunity here now, because you can, you know, how do you feel about the people who won?
Yes.
There it is right there. If you're going to hate them, then it's not true that the values are kindness and compassion,
yeah.
Or at least not right in that moment as you're suffering.
Yeah, and sadly, you know, we train children toward this from a very early age.
Mm-hmm.
It's called sports. And, you know, the older you get, the more it becomes get out there and kill the enemy. You know,
yeah.
The people at the next high school are the enemy.
Right.
And so it's a real setup for there's us and there's them, and only one of us is going to make it, and we're going to make sure that we're the ones who make it, and it's not helpful. And at this point in history, I think truly we need to start looking at the fact that that is not a survival strategy.
No.
Being meaner, being tougher, fighting back, and prevailing is no longer the short road to survival. I think we're getting a message, Justin.
I think we are. Thanks so much.
Let's talk again.
Thanks for the show.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for calling, Justin. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. We're talking today about the value of calling in and also life after the election. Stay tuned here, and we'll be back in a moment. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Coming up next in this segment, we'll be continuing our conversation about life after the election and the value of calling in to Open Air with Sherry Huber. So stay tuned here, and we'll be back. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. We're having a great conversation today about life after the election and the value of calling in. Sherry, we have about 7 minutes left here, and we have two callers on hold here.
Oh, my goodness.
Time is flying.
We must talk fast or invite them back.
Great. I'd like to welcome Susan from Mountain View. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Oh, you guys just suddenly faded. I can barely hear you.
Can you hear us now?
No. When I was on hold, I could hear you really well, but now I can barely hear you. But I bet you we can do this.
We can.
Okay.
Because we can hear you.
Okay. Well, that's good. Well, I just have to say that I'm having the most unexpected experience. I'm totally nervous.
Oh.
My heart is pounding. I'm like, oh, my heavens, I'm calling into a radio show. Why did I do this? I mean, as I was listening to Justin talk, I thought, well, I can just hang up because I'm sure there's other people in the queue waiting to talk, and I just won't do it.
Aha. And that's helpful to see, isn't it?
Well, yeah. You know, well, what's so funny is I knew the topic was on how it's helpful to participate, and I remember when I first started going to groups in Mountain View, I would just go and sit there and not say a word, and just listen, and I would come religiously every week and just listen. And finally, Sherry, this is when you were there guiding, and finally you said in one of the groups, you know, if people don't have anything to share, you know, I have a grandson. I can go do other things. And I thought, oh, my God, I better say something.
Uh-huh.
But I was just petrified. I mean, it's like, I don't have anything to say. You know, so I was going to share that today, but I'm going to the experience.
Yes, you're having the experience right now.
I'm having the experience right now, and I was just overjoyed to hear that you're going to do another email class, and I can just see the value in all of it, of people getting together and talking, and I gain so much value from it. I gain value from all the email classes. I gain value every time I go to a group and hear people share. I gain value from the radio show, and yet for me to step up and actually, I mean, you want me to make a call and talk to you on. Who knows who's listening on a radio show?
Yeah, And what you're saying just has huge, huge, huge implications, because that's so often what each one of us is feeling about the world. You know, I would like to see this different, but what can I do? Now, I just heard that Hope Magazine, that I'm such a fan of, is actually going out of business because they couldn't get enough subscribers, which I think
heard
is
that. That's tragic.
Sad, sad comment. but that magazine, and I'm going to research other places where this kind of information exists, that magazine is full of the stories of people who said, I want to do something about that, and then profoundly change the world. Just regular old folks with nothing to say, with no particular skills, not anybody particularly special, and in stepping out in that way because they were inspired to do something greater than themselves, they found out that, in fact, they are extraordinary human beings, as we all are. And it's being called to go past our conditioned beliefs and inadequacy that puts us in a position to see not only what's possible, but who we are.
Yes. Well, and as I was listening to the other callers, I'm getting more nervous, thinking, oh, my God, I'm going to go on the air. I was thinking, well, they sound so calm, and they can talk about issues, and you know, well, I'm not calm. I could never do that. And just, you know, the urge to just hang up. Okay, never mind.
And, of course, awareness practice is so great because you recognize that in other places in your life, right? If it just happened to you today, as you're calling in for this radio show, you would say, oh, my goodness, you know, oh, my goodness, what is this? I really need to pay attention to this because this is new and different. But, in fact, when we're confronted with something like that about ourselves, we can get a sense that, oh, yeah, I hung up on that circumstance, and I hung up on that person, and I hung up on that possibility.
Right. And I just see how the courage that it takes for people to call into the show and how much I'm supported by that and wanting to, in a sense, support other people by saying, okay, well, if you can do it, even though you don't sound nervous, and I feel totally nervous, if you can do it, I can do it.
Yes. And, you know, the other thing about your call that I think is so significant, if all else fails, we can always talk about what's going on with us right in the moment.
Yes.
You know, people will think, yeah, but I have to have some big, important topic. You know, I have to have some great insight to share with people. Nope. We can just talk about what is going on for us right in this very moment.
Right. I'm too nervous to have an insight.
And yet your nervousness is the insight for you and for us.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's perfect. And I loved your analogy about sports, you know, people learning how to play sports as kids, just training them to go into this divisiveness. I thought that was so important.
And, you know, in Japan, I've not been there, but I understand that this is the case. There, children are taught, and then as citizens, they respond to a person's efforts by saying, do your best. So there are a bunch of people running now, or in France, you know, when Lance Armstrong was doing the Tour de France, and people are spitting on him and throwing things at him. In Japan, people are standing alongside the road chanting, do your best.
That's great.
Now, there's a little bit different view of how the world can be.
That's great.
So if we learn to say that for ourselves, it comes very easy and naturally to be able to say it to someone and for someone else.
Well, thank you.
I'm hearing music in the background, and so I think it, again, is our signal that we have reached the end of our conversation.
So luckily there's going to be another radio show,
I'm
going to call in.
There you go. That's just what I was going to say. This is just your first call, your first of many calls.
Many. All right. Well, thank you to you and Michael. I really appreciate the show.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling in, Ann. You've been with Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. It's been a great hour. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Michael.
I'd like to thank all of our listeners and callers today. You can reach us by email at openair@livingcompassion.org. Archives of all the show are right here at worldtalkradio.com. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you next week.